We read the Holy Scriptures together this evening in the book of Proverbs, chapter 5. The book of Proverbs, chapter 5, and the portion of Scripture for us this evening will be the verses 15 through 21. In Georgetown this morning, we celebrated the sacrament of infant baptism. The sermon title is Satisfied in One's Own Marriage. The text will be verses 15 through 21, Satisfied in One's Own Marriage. Reading God's Word in Proverbs 5, My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thy ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh at the door of her house, lest thou give thy honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labor be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thy own cistern and running waters out of thy own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thy own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly shall he go astray. May the Holy Spirit write his word on our hearts. Once again, our portion text for the sermon will be verses 15 through 21, Satisfied in One's Own Marriage. The covenant son to whom the Holy Spirit writes this chapter had come within inches of his life being destroyed by pornography. Within inches of his life lived in the chains of the demon of sexual lust. Lust, he tells us in the opening verses, had appeared so sweet to him. If I may just go back a moment to verse 14. I'm speaking about verse 14. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Almost. That was because lust appeared to him already as a young man, so sweet, as drops, he says, of a honeycomb. But he found it to end as bitter as wormwood. He tells us that he thought that he would take hold of desire and pleasure, but found that he had taken hold on hell. Giving himself over unto his own lusts for which he was responsible, he tells us in verse 6 that his conscience was checked, that under this sin he gave no time for spiritual reflection, that he found himself always pursuing it. Verse 6, lest thou should ponder the path of life, her ways are immovable, that thou canst not know them. It prevented any spiritual thought. He knew, and he had heard the warnings frequently. Verse 9, the loss of his honor. Verse 10, the waste of his family wealth. Verse 10, the service in the house of a stranger. Verse 11, the consumption of his own body. Yet, he believed that he could manage. He believed that he could keep it secret. He had said, yeah, I've heard all that. Verse 12, how I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. And now, he tells us, it was all but sealed in his life. Verse 14, I was almost in all evil, this demon of lust, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. By that word, he does not only mean that he found now that there was no place, no matter how sacred it may be, where he was free from his sinful lusts and which his eyes did not look, no matter the place, even in the congregation, he was not free of that sin. But he means especially that he would now be able to live a double life. There he sat in the congregation, singing and praying. A clean cut kid. But this sin was within him. That can be very true of all of us, every one of us. We can appear here, and yet some sin in which we are walking, and yet we have preserved the outward to look very good. Hypocrisy was all but sealed in his life. He would settle down, if the devil had his way, to the appearance. And yet within his heart, to bondage, to sexual lust. Almost. There is grace in that word, almost. There is an abundance of grace, almost. For it was by that grace of God reaching down into his heart through Jesus Christ and exposing and making known his sin and bringing to him a godly remorse and shame that God brought him to repentance. The first two verses, Christ speaking, my son, attend to my wisdom and bow down thine ear to understanding. He is not simply saying, wake up and be sensible, but that is the infused wisdom and the infused understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ worked within him a genuine and true repentance of his sin, showed him his helplessness, exposed to him the shame of his sin, and exposed and showed him that he was a Savior. In the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, this young man was shown that he is not his own, but that he was bought with the price of the Son of God, his precious blood, and that now his body and his spirit were God's who dwelt within him. He was washed and he was renewed. This was a covenant son set free from folly and from the demon of sexual sin. And now, married. Verse 15. And now, newly married. Verse 18. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. And now, living as husband and wife, starting a family, seeking to live godly in Christ Jesus, seeking to live in his marriage before the eyes of God. And the Holy Spirit now, at verse 15, will counsel, will teach him about his marriage. He will teach him and he will teach us about an exclusive love between husband and wife. The passage will center upon fulfillment, upon satisfaction, that God bestows a spiritual blessing and satisfaction when two of his believers, husband and wife, are committed in their marriage to live their marriage truly out of the love of God in Jesus Christ. Looking for God to bless us in our own marriage. God's blessing in our own marriage. Drink water out of your own cistern and not another's. A blessing whereby we may be ravished is the word. That we might be enthralled. That we might be content. That we might be happy with each other, husband and wife, growing in our marriage, growing in faith and love and hope, satisfied in our own marriage. I call your attention to that, satisfied in one's own marriage. Let's see here the blessed fountain of marital love. Let's see, secondly, the pleasant streams that flow from that satisfaction. And finally, we conclude with the sober question that is put to unfaithfulness. The passage teaches us, God is teaching us tonight, that his will for you as a Christian husband and a Christian wife is that you find pleasure, that you find happiness, that you find contentment in your own marriage, in each other. The figure that is being used is that of a cistern, of a well, and of a fountain. It's a reference to water. And you know that, especially in the Old Testament, water was a sign of the Spirit's power to refresh the child of God in an arid and sin-cursed world with a depraved nature. And so we read, drink waters out of thy own cistern, and living waters out of thy own well. And then verse 18, let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. There are three things referred to, cistern, well, and fountain, all of which would bring refreshment, something that an Israelite would look for, that they would want in a dry and arid climate of Palestine. A cistern was generally dug out of the earth. It was a reservoir. It was something that would contain rainwater. It would collect a pool of water for service and use. A well would be something that they would dig down into the earth in the likely spot of finding an underground channel or river of water, and it would bring up sweet and fresh water. And a fountain was even that place where the water would begin to bubble out of the earth itself and bring cool, refreshing water. And note with me that all three of these are referred to as a private source of water. It is not referring to public watering holes. Drink water out of your own cistern and running water out of thy own well. Let them be only thy own and not another's with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed. He's not referring to a public cistern, a public pool, which would be used by various people and would be polluted by animals and by bathing and contaminated. But a man was blessed who had his own clean water, pure water, uncontaminated water to refresh and to quench him in his need. So says God, each husband and each wife is directed to each other. We are directed to our own cistern, our own marital bond, to be the source of refreshment, to be the source of God's spiritual blessing and pleasure and satisfaction. When I use the word, are you satisfied? I don't mean to use that word as we would use it. Well, yeah, more or less, I'm satisfied. But I mean fulfillment. Sexually, emotionally, spiritually, for your comfort, for your counsel, for your companionship, for your contentment, for your happiness, for your communication. God says, not I, but this word of God says, your marriage is to be the source of your satisfaction in this life. Now why? Why? And we could answer that question by looking to the beginning, to the very institution of marriage as God made it in Genesis 2, when he said that it is not good that the man would be alone. I will make and help meet for him. And that answer would be correct, and we would be saying we are to be satisfied and seek for our fulfillment in our own marriage bond because our Heavenly Father created it that way. And that's true. And that is forever true. But that would lead us to ask our Father in heaven, and why? Why is that so? And then we know the answer. Because of the fact that marriage is a picture of God's covenant with us. That marriage is a picture of Christ and us, his bride, the church. And that our satisfaction as believers, our contentment, our joy and happiness is in that bond that God has made between himself and us in Christ. Out of that bond, we find, and you will find as a believer, refreshment, joy in a weary land of sin and death. In Zephaniah 3, verse 17, God says in terms of marriage, I will rejoice over you with singing. God rejoices in us. And we respond in Isaiah 61, verse 10, in the same words, I will joy in the Lord who has given me a garment of salvation. In that relationship in which God brings us in his covenant, we are joined to him. And out of that, because we belong to him, we find all of our contentment, all of our joy. We sinners have joy and gladness. We have peace. We have acceptance. We have all of our needs in that bond that God has established with us in Jesus Christ. Out of that relationship, we draw waters of salvation. We draw comfort. We draw all that we need out of that relationship. And in that relationship, we are comforted and assured. Put it this way. The bride of Jesus Christ, the church, you and I, drink water out of one cistern. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the covenant, the relationship that we have in Christ. So, for marriage to be a picture of that, that we find satisfaction for my soul in God. So, God intends our marital love, our marriage, to be the fountain, to be the pool, out of which we find in this life pleasure, contentment in our earthly pilgrimage, fellowship in Christ, growth in Christ, faith, hope, and love. Don't seek as a woman to unload your heart to the girls' night out at a bar where you will go over a few drinks to complain about your husband. May we have, as men and women, married men and women, friends, Christian friends, yes. May they be, and may we bring at times some of the needs of our hearts, yes, but they must be godly. They must not be there simply as a sympathetic shoulder and to agree with us that your husband is, but they must bring us God's word. As a man, don't look for life's satisfaction in your own man cave or in some place where you finally don't have the responsibilities of wife and children. Don't say, well, I need to stop for a drink on the way home. But be eager to get home and to be there for the supper that your wife has prepared for you. And after she has been with your children, be eager to get there with your wife and children and find your satisfaction and your joy right there in that table with the woman and with the children that God has given to you. Drink water. Drink water, says God, not I. God says, drink water out of your own cistern. As a young couple, don't look for fulfillment getting married, but looking for fulfillment now, first of all, in career. Satisfaction in work, but look for that satisfaction and God's blessing right in your own marriage. Drink water out of your own sister. Don't, as a married person, look for comfort, look for sympathy, look for a listening ear in another man as a woman. Don't look for understanding as a man in another woman, in someone else's wife. Don't flirt. Don't think of pleasure in an affair. Don't look to pornography, but look to your wife. And when, as sinners, we go through struggles in our marriage, let us get on our knees in humility. Let us seek the help of God's church. Let us not retreat to silence. Let us not pout. Let us not get mad. But let us pray as a husband and wife, dear God, humble us under thy mighty hand and give us grace that we may seek our satisfaction in each other and in our marriage. This is not my word. This is not some puritanical. This is not written by someone long ago who had suppressed psychological issues. This is written by our Savior and by our God. Drink water out of your own cistern, the fountain of satisfaction for married Christians is found in our own marriage. Just briefly, the young people listening, I trust, just briefly, marry in the Lord. Now let's look at that blessed fountain yet a little more, of what that marital fountain of satisfaction is to be. I believe that in the text there are four words that will describe it. The first on the forefront is exclusive. We can't miss that. Let them be thy own and not a stranger with thee. Thy own cistern, the wife of thy youth. Who is the wife of our youth? She's the girl, when you got married, that you put the ring on her finger. He's the guy that when you first got married, you put the ring on his finger. Representing that you believed this reality, that God himself, at that moment, bound you into one. When you were married, there was a creation. God created something that had not been by his word and power. Your marriage, as only he could. As two bottles of sand are poured out simultaneously into another so that it can no longer be separated, and it is one. For better, for worse, to love and to cherish, till death us do part. And not, says the text, not a stranger with thee. Not a stranger. The stranger here is not simply a reference to a harlot, but a stranger now is anyone, man or woman, who is not your husband and your wife. Drink water out of your own cistern and living water out of your own well. Providentially, God brought her to you. Providentially, God brought her to you and worked in you. God's providence did that. He worked in you the love of Christ for each other. She's the one. She's the only one. Till death do us part. He's the one. He's the only one. When my children were young, and now with my grandchildren, I would read them a book that you might be familiar with, a children's book, This Nest is Best, about Mr. and Mrs. Robin, who wanted something new and decided to find a different nest. They go from place to place and almost lose their lives, and suddenly they're brought back to their own, where they started, their own birdhouse together. And they say, in all the world, this nest is best. In all the world of billions of women, this woman is best for me, this husband, because God, by his hand, graciously brought her to me. It's exclusive. It's number two, sexual or intimate, verse 19. Let her be as the loving hind, that's a deer, and the pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. God has created sexual desire, and He has given a relationship for that place, for those desires, and for that intimacy. When we pull that out of marriage, we abuse it. We sin against God and against our spouse. We pervert a gift that God has given to us as husband and wife. And that's the point now. Sexual intimacy in your marriage, you and your wife, you and your husband, that's God's gift just to you. You share that, young people, married people, you share that gift with one person, your wife, your husband. God gave that pleasure, that tenderness. Note how God describes it. A loving hind, dear, and a pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee always. God gave to you that prized and cherished relation just to you in your marriage, nowhere else. Do not embrace another. Those desires, those powerful desires, God gave to marriage as the expression of a private gift of closeness and love that God has established between you and your wife. The third word that we would pick here is companionship. Seek water out of your own cistern. Means that we will be by each other's side. That we will be as husbands and wives accepting one of each other. You know with me that the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 says that this means that husbands love your wife, and wives see that they reverence their husband, that is, respect your husband. And so as a companion, you seek your life together. You focus your life together. You grow together. You grow together in affliction. You grow together in adversity. You shoulder the load together. And you discover that two are better than one. Do you as a husband deal with a heavy hand? Do you just tell her? Do you just inform her of decisions? Or is she your companion? Your loving roe. If we simply treat her with a heavy hand, we sin. Abusive hand, we sin. We're not the servant leader that God calls us to be. Do you as a wife badger, criticize? Do you say, my husband doesn't make enough money. The house that he provides is not good enough. That we seek water from our own cistern means that we are in Christ companions, loving companions. And the final word that I would use to describe this marital bond of blessing is the word commitment. Exclusive, sexual, loving companion, and commitment. Obviously, God is talking here about commitment. Drink water out of your own cistern. Commitment now, Godward, that we are faithful to our vow, that we're committed to that vow. You might say to me, well, Pastor, there you might have chosen the wrong word. What you want to say, perhaps, is the word compatibility. Seek compatibility. I'm using the word commitment. You might say to me, how can you find satisfaction one in each other if we're not compatible? Well, beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that it be the experience of many of us that we have discovered in our marriages that we are not as compatible as we thought we were. In fact, that it, in many ways we're not compatible at all. And beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there has never been a less compatible marriage than the marriage of a holy God with us, his sinful bride. That marriage exists because of grace, because of God's loving commitment. I will not let you go. So it may not sound romantic, but commitment is the word. Commitment. Two hands, husband and wife, brought together, committed. And in that commitment, love is safeguarded. If love is lifted out of commitment, if you're not committed, love can't live, as a plant can't lift when taken from its soil. Committed for God's sake, hand in hand, and God will preserve love. Now you note with me that from that, verse 16 speaks to us of pleasant streams. And I would point out to you that there's an obvious change in verse 16 from the figure that you have, primarily the figure of a man drinking water, cool water out of his own well. But now in verse 16 we have streams that evidently are flowing out of the house and down the street. Let thy fountain be dispersed, and rivers of water in the streets. Now briefly, I have to bring up here a matter of interpretation and translation. Because when you compare this to other versions, these other versions translate it, why should your fountains be dispersed? Believing that this will harmonize better with the context, where the emphasis has been, look to your own marriage and don't let your desires run out of your own house down the street. And so they will translate, why should your fountains be dispersed? But I disagree. I believe the King James has it right. Verses 16 through 19 are all imperative. We don't come to an interrogative till verse 20. Interrogative is a question. Why wilt thou? So verse 16 is not a question asking, why do you do that? Why do you let your fountains go out? It's not a question. It is an imperative. Do that. Do that. And the point is, then, that when husband and wife seek in their marital bond, that is their satisfaction. They're satisfied in their marriage. That out of that satisfaction flow rivers of blessing. First of all, in the church. We need not think, first of all, of children. Down the streets, the water flows. The contentment and the happiness and the satisfaction of your marriage blesses others in the church. That's the meaning. They receive from your marriage, as you walk among the saints, a blessing. when our marriages are repentant, when they're warm, when they're genuine, when our marriages are accepting of each other, when we're thoughtful of each other, when we walk in love, when we are considerate, the people of God, the congregation, the children of the church are blessed. And when in our marriages we're caustic, we show that we're holding a grudge between the two of us. Or we're talking with somebody and they say, "Oh, I touched a sore spot there in the marriage." Our own marital commitment is a blessing to the church. And then these streams are children. Rivers of water in the street are the children. Just one reference, Isaiah 48, verse 1. "Hear this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel," so that's the people of God at large, "and are come forth out of the water of Judah." The people of God all came out of one water, out of one well. God's promise to Judah of the Christ. And so, out of the marriage flows the water of children. Children sent forth into the streets for their calling before God in this world. And the point is, and a point that we all know, and we all need to remember, the point of the Holy Spirit is that our marriage as parents, our marriage as grandparents and great-grandparents, our marriage touches our children, our grandchildren, the children of the church. The state of my marriage affects my children, my married children, my grandchildren. Our children are to be blessed in our marriage. As husband and wife, we fail them. As husband and wife, we have shortcomings and we sin against our children. A house full of little children, we become irritable and we yell. Come home to our house with the stress of work and we just want to be left alone. We fail. We do. And we weep. We weep at the end of the day. We get on our knees and we go to God. And God forgives us. Mothers, God forgives us. And we say, "Yes, I know that." And the Lord says, "No, don't get off your knees yet. I have something more to say to you, mother. I am pleased. I am pleased with you. As you come confessing your shortcomings and your weaknesses, I'm pleased. And I will be with you. And I will help you." Our children, what I want to say is, our children, by God's grace, I'm not excusing us as parents, but our children will survive our shortcomings. They know that we are imperfectly sanctified sinners. They'll survive our shortcomings. But the most important thing that they need from you as their parents is that they know that you are happy with each other in Christ. The dad loves mom, and mom is at dad's side, and that they drink water out of one cistern, and their fountain is dispersed. That means that our marriages must be now in the home godly and holy. There can be no four-letter words, no cursing and swearing, no opening our home, our marriage, to the gross immorality of television, of a world filled with immorality. The emphasis here is on clear streams of water, clear streams. And the emphasis, obviously, of the text is about, the context is obviously about immorality. We all know what a little dye will do to a stream of water. Last Saturday, I left a red ink pen in my pants, and it got into the wash machine, dark colors, and it really didn't do much there. But then it got into the dryer with pillows and white t-shirts. And that red ink pen left stains that are not to be removed. Husbands, wives, in this world that is multiplied with immorality and with temptations, one act can leave a stain in the lives of our children. Be thou ravished always by her love. By her love. Literally, ere thou always, ere, mistake thou always in her love. Or this way, if you're going to make a mistake in your marriage, err on the side of loving too much. That's not the way to put it, but err on the side of loving more than your husband, than your wife deserves. And why? Because you and I are loved by God much, much more than we could ever deserve. The passage concludes with a sober question: why? Why would we follow the path of unfaithfulness? And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Why? Why? And the answer, the passage goes on to say that God knows the answer, for the ways of man are before the eyes of God, and he pondereth all his goings. The answer is, so often, I'm not drinking water out of my own cistern. I'm discontent. The answer is pride, sinful self-seeking, foolish, looking outside my own marriage, where God has said, I will satisfy you. I will bless you in that marriage by my grace with all humility, with that woman and that man, I will bless you. Why? Why would we seek to be ravished with another woman? It's our own foolish, sinful pride that we would conclude that another man or another woman will bring us happiness. Why? Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has provided for you and for me, sinners, satisfaction. He has provided for us a well and a cistern and a fountain from which we may draw cleansing and refreshment of our souls. It is the cross of Jesus Christ, the fountain that is filled with blood and flows from Emmanuel's vein. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And God says, come, come to the waters. Come without money and without price. The cleansing, precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sweet refreshment of the love of God, the power of Jesus Christ to renew me in a life of godliness. Drink, drink from that well through faith. Before that well that God has provided of the blood of Jesus Christ, God says of you, I am well pleased in you. I rejoice in you in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you shall be satisfied as a sinner. And God says, you sinners, married, who are satisfied in that fountain, in that well, show your satisfaction by seeking satisfaction in your own marriage. Amen.